Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No shorthand.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl.
Today I have the pleasure of once again having Henry Lowendorf of the Greater New Haven Peace Council on the show to share his wisdom. Henry has been a peace activist since the 1960s U.S. war on Vietnam. He's a co-chair of the Greater New Haven Peace Council and is a member of the Executive Committee of the U.S. Peace Council, and a representative to the World Peace Council, an NGO of the United Nations. He is a founding member of the New Haven chapter of Jewish Voices for Peace. Henry has a PhD in biology from Case Western Reserve University. In 2007, he retired from his position as associate director of Yale University's Office of Cooperative Research to focus on promoting peace and justice. Last year, Henry traveled to Syria as part of a peace delegation. Henry Lowendorf, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. It's a pleasure to be here again.
So last Friday, April 7th, the U.S. conducted an illegal missile attack on Syria at the Al-Sharat air base. And it was, quote, in retaliation for Assad's alleged sarin gas attack. Can you put this all in some context for the listeners?
Let me try. I think that there's a very high level or broad context, and that is the invasions of the United States throughout the Middle East over the last 16, 17 years, wars that the United States started, often based on false information, and continue. They haven't settled down, they haven't been ended, and the people in those countries have been decimated. The refugee crisis is in large part because of the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, and Syria. I expect we're going to see a huge number of refugees from Yemen as well if they can get out. But also other countries the U.S. has been engaged in attacking, like Somalia and Sudan. So this is sort of the current situation that the United States intentionally caused. And the attack by the Trump administration using cruise missiles on a Syrian airbase was based on reports from United States allies in Syria who claimed that Syria had used chemical weapons. And rather than waiting for the United Nations and the Office of Chemical Weapons that studies chemical weapons, rather than waiting for an investigation, the United States under Trump just decided to bomb an airbase.
Right, and I went to see Congressman Larson speak here on Sunday evening at the University of Hartford, and he is supporting this bomb attack, and he says it's appropriate and proportional. And so I'm thinking, you know, I don't think there's any proof that Assad did this, but if you go along with what they're saying, Assad killed some of his own people, so we're going to show him and we're going to bomb and kill more of his people. I mean, does that make any sense?
This is the massive illogic of the war, is that two wrongs somehow make a right. And we were taught from grade school on that this is immoral and illogical. But the United States, there has been a push from within the liberal community, the Democrats and the Republicans in the United States, to expand the war on Syria. There's been a push to do that. Trump was resisting that push. He said, we want to join with Russia and get rid of the terrorists, ISIS and so forth. That's turned around 180 degrees. Let me just say, though, that whatever took place with this toxic chemicals, and we don't know what happened, because no independent investigation has been made, but whatever took place, that is not an excuse for the United States to bomb. The United Nations Charter gives very explicit instructions on what conditions a country can attack another country, and none of those conditions hold in this situation. There are people who are calling for a congressional investigation, not to challenge what Trump did, but to legitimize it. But let me just say that even if the Congress votes to legitimize what I consider an immoral and illegal aggression, and many others do too, the only way the United States legally, under its own constitution and international law and its own treaties, can attack another country is by getting United Nations approval. It doesn't have that. And in fact, Trump doesn't even have congressional approval. So this violates, it's totally unconstitutional. Now I have to back away and say the United States has been doing unconstitutional things for years, so it's not like this is new. The attack on Iraq in 2003 was also illegal. The attack on Libya was illegal. The attack on Afghanistan was illegal. There have been no declarations of war, and there are no UN-sanctioned expansions of wars and aggressions the United States has done. There's several aspects of this context. The most important, I think, of course, is looking at the damage that is done to the Syrian people by a war that has wholly been instigated and supported and expanded by the United States and its allies. It is true that within Syria in 2011, there was opposition to the government and there were opposition demonstrations. And it's very clear from many, many different reports that that peaceful opposition was quickly taken over by men with guns. And those men with guns were provided the weapons and provided the guns by the United States and their allies. And the playbook of the CIA, the soft power playbook of the CIA, has been used. It follows the same pattern. It's happened in many countries. You have peaceful demonstrations, and men with guns appear and start shooting into the crowd and shooting as well government forces, police, and so forth, to generate a violent situation then that gets out of control.
Right, and then they get to move their agenda forward by aggression against the country. So
exactly. Just going to add that the money for this, not only has the United States been pouring $1 billion a year into this aggression on Syria directly, but it also has the Saudis and the Qataris, these royal families of these brutal regimes, supplying weaponry, supplying the fighters. Turkey provides the pathway to get from wherever the fighters are coming from, Europe. A large number of them are coming from Europe to get into Syria via Turkey. So you have the countries surrounding Syria who are U.S. allies that are allowing and encouraging this war on the Syrian people. This has been a horrendous, just a deplorable result for Syrian people. And millions of people have been displaced, a little bit more than half of them moving within their own country, refugees within Syria, and the rest have fled Syria entirely because of this war.
And Syria is no threat to the United States or those surrounding countries whatsoever.
Yeah, right. Syria is not a threat to the United States. It has not attacked any of these neighboring countries, period.
Right.
It hasn't. And Trump said, oh, Syria is a security threat to the United States. The only threat to the United States that Syria represents is that it is independent of the big corporations in this country.
And the big banks.
Right. And the big banks, right.
Right, right. I was looking at doing some research on this, and I found that in 1983, the CIA had a plan. They have a document that reveals a plan to destroy Syria back then. And, you know, of course, they weren't successful at it. And then, of course, General Wesley Clark has stated in 2007 that he was told by the generals in the Pentagon right after 9/11 that the U.S. had plans to take out 7 countries in 5 years. They're a little behind schedule, but the 7 countries are Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and then finishing off with Iran. So we know that this is part of our plan, and they do use these attacks. I think the last chemical attack that they blamed in 2013 has been proven that Assad didn't do it, but they still go on using the line that he did, even though it's been proved that he hasn't, because I guess they assume the average person isn't going to go look this up and know about this. And the corporate media, talk about that a little bit, how the corporate media is so in lockstep with the government. They're not doing any investigative reporting on this.
Absolutely not. The corporate media have promoted totally biased reports from Syria. They have no, and have had, no reporters on the ground in Syria. Certainly, there were reporters that were embedded with the mercenaries that are trying to overthrow the government. And some of them lost their heads. But the reporters, there are independent reporters on the ground in Syria, but they largely aren't covered by our corporate media. You have to go outside the corporate structure to listen to them. And I can name two, because the two I've met, one is Vanessa Beely, and Vanessa is a British journalist who joined the delegation that I helped lead with Jerry Condon from Veterans for Peace in July of last year, we took seven people to Syria to basically do fact-finding as much as we could, given the circumstances, to find out what was going on from a large number of non-governmental organizations as well as government people. And Vanessa joined the delegation. She subsequently went back into Syria. She went to Aleppo. She's done a lot of recording of interviews and a lot of reporting on what's actually happening on the ground in the government-controlled areas of Syria. And the other reporter is Eva Bartlett. Eva's a Canadian journalist. She spent a lot of time in the Middle East. And even while we were in Damascus, which was not entirely secure because they were being shelled and bombed even while we were there, although fortunately not close to where we were, Bartlett had gone to Aleppo, and this is in the summer, last summer. And Aleppo at that point was a very dangerous place. She had to go there without any security, just hiring someone to drive her around. And she speaks Arabic, so she could talk to people without having to depend on a translator. And she's written a lot about what was going on. And both of these reporters, I think, should be, and there are others, should be followed because they were on the ground, and they are on the ground.
Right. I agree with you.
And that the reports in the corporate media come from the same mercenaries that the United States is funding. This is the irony. Maybe it's not so ironic. It's fairly typical. The New York Times and the Washington Post and the other media, Fox and CNN, largely depend on reports from one side.
I'm glad you brought them up. I want to encourage people to go to YouTube and check out Vanessa Beely or Eva Bartlett. They have wonderful speeches given on there, and you can hear what's really going on from journalists who have actually been in Syria. Yeah, you know, they're just independent journalists. They have no reason to lie to us about any of this, so I check them out.
Right.
Another website I want to recommend is globalresearch.ca, and that has all these articles posted from many sites. And then there's a book by Tim Anderson that I also want to recommend to people if you want to know more about what's going on in Syria, and it's called The Dirty War on Syria. So The Dirty War on Syria by Tim Anderson. And so, essentially, we have the proxy armies, the ISIS, instead of working for the U.S. NATO alliance and other allied countries. And there's an article that I just recently found from London's Daily Mail in 2013 that confirmed the existence of an Anglo-American project endorsed by the White House with the assistance of Qatar to wage a chemical weapons attack on Syria and place the blame on Bashar al-Assad. So we know that they've been planning this, and now here it is, and they offer no proof, and they bomb this country. Your thoughts on that?
Well, there are a number of reports that indicate that the rebels, I don't think of them as rebels, I think of them as mercenaries and foreign fighters and terrorists, that these people are using chemical weapons and that they have been able to use chemical weapons by the Turks, by Qatar, by the United States. Let's remember that when Saddam Hussein in the 1980s was an ally of the United States and Germany provided him with chemical weapons to attack Iran. The U.S. and Germany provided him with chemical weapons to attack Iran.
Right.
So this is not new. This is not new. The New York Times has reported on the use of chemical weapons by ISIS. In November of 2016, the title is ISIS used chemical arms at least 52 times in Syria and Iraq. The Voice of America, a year ago, published Kurdish officials say rebels have been using chemicals in Aleppo, chlorine gas. So they are using these. Now, the UN has examined this. The UN's reports are not entirely conclusive, but there's no question that these people who are trying to take down the Assad government and their supporters are using chemical weapons. It makes sense. There are many, many reports over the last week that argue, including the veteran intelligence professionals, Ray McGovern, who is a former CIA analyst, that they believe that this was a false flag effort to blame the Syrian government, get the United States to do exactly what Trump did, to pull the United States directly into the war. And they provide evidence for that in their report. Their analysis at this point coincides with the analysis that has been provided by Russia and Iran, and that is that the Syrian Air Force dropped bombs on a weapons depot, and that weapons depot had toxic chemicals in it, which spread and killed many people. And because the United States and Russia had sort of a hotline where they shared information about what their air forces were doing as a means of preventing an accident or a situation where the U.S. and Russia shot each other down, they were sharing information. So the Russians told the United States, this is going to be bombed. Now, the United States knew that, and the U.S. is not talking about that. The U.S. refuses to really provide information. The CIA is not talking about it. But they have that information. There's no question about it.
Right. And if they're working with ISIS, the U.S., as we know they are, then they probably knew that there were chemical weapons in that area, and so they knew they could plan this false attack.
They may have. Again, under no circumstances, even if you took the worst allegations, and that is that somehow President Assad wanted to kill his own people, even if you accepted that, that would not be an excuse for the United States to bomb or invade or expand its aggression against Syria.
I agree.
I think people need to ask themselves, on what basis? Who benefits from this? And we've seen who benefits. This benefits the terrorist organizations, ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra and Al-Sham, all these organizations that are connected by a tree of death to the United States and its allies, Saudi Arabia and Qatar and the NATO countries.
And the weapons manufacturers.
Yes, yeah. And the weapons. So, you know, 59 cruise missiles now, Lockheed, is it Rockwell, one of whoever produced them gets to produce some more at $1 million or $1.5 million a piece. And, in fact, what's been published is that the stock value went up by $1.5 billion, and Trump owns some of that stock.
Yeah.
So he benefits. I'm not sure that's the reason, and I wouldn't make an argument that's the reason he did it. But he turned around 180 degrees under all of this pressure. Now he's showing that he can stand up to Russia, which is, in fact, what the Democrats have been demanding, the Liberal Democrats have been demanding, and the Republicans have been demanding, rather than negotiating and allying with the countries that want to prevent the terrorism, because Russia just suffered a terrorist incident in St. Petersburg.
Right.
Right? Sweden just suffered a terrorist incident. Rather than joining those countries together to stop this, what's happening is the United States policy is to enhance and enable these terrorists.
Exactly.
So this is a serious problem, but I want to just raise the most serious problem. I mean, this is bad, but on a global level, what could be far worse is that the United States and Russia, the two countries that have 95% of the nuclear weapons in the world, and many of these weapons are on hair trigger alert, those two countries are facing off against each other in Syria and in Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Any kind of accident or mistake or by intention by a lower level military person could lead to a direct confrontation. And by the way, there are some calmer heads in the United States that point this out and in Russia that point this out, that this is the most dangerous situation and it's being promoted. It's being exacerbated. This hysteria against Russia.
Russia is the one who is, if you look at Wesley Clark's plan for 7 countries in 5 years, if you look at that, Russia is the only country that now has come in and has blocked that plan to move forward. So they've got to make Russia look like the evil guy and try and get Russia out of the way to carry on with their plan.
I think that's right, but we have to add that Assad has not succumbed to the plan. The United States, with its sanctions during the Bill Clinton presidency in the 90s, weakened Iraq. They killed 500,000 children, admitted by Madeleine Albright, and she said it was fine. If we can get Saddam Hussein out of there, it's okay to kill half a million
children. It was worth the price, she said, right?
Worth the price, yeah. So they weakened Iraq, and then when the United States decided to attack Iraq in 2003 over the lie of weapons of mass destruction, but by the way, the chemical weapons are considered weapons of mass destruction, the lie then and the lie now, attacked Iraq and overthrew Saddam Hussein in no time at all. This war on Syria, largely fought by mercenaries rather than by, there are U.S. combat troops in Syria now, illegally, but largely this is being fought by mercenaries coming from many countries. The Assad government has withstood that for 6 years. When the United States attacked Libya, the government was overthrown in practically no time. Assad has withstood that. the gurus of our corporate media and our Democrats and Republicans in Congress who want to see the overthrow of the Middle East by the United States never ask themselves, how is it possible? What kind of support has he got? Because the Russians did not get involved directly until September of 2015. So already 4.5 years had passed, and Assad had withstood for 4.5 years. Just one more thing. The United States has sanctions on Syria that are similar to the sanctions on Iraq, with the intention of weakening Syria and getting people somehow to revolt because of those sanctions and overthrow the government. But that hasn't happened. People are suffering the sanctions. They recognize, the people of Syria, and this is one thing we learned when we were there, the people of Syria recognize the only things between them and having an ISIS-controlled fundamentalist theocracy is the Syrian Arab Army, and they support that army because it's the only thing that's protecting them from that horror story.
And I was just reading an article about the U.S. military is reportedly concentrating troops and military equipment in the Syrian-Jordanian border, right on the border. And the local sources said that there are about 20 U.S. Army armored vehicles, including battle tanks and artillery pieces, carried on trucks that were spotted in the Al-Mafraq area on the border. And the U.S. troops were allegedly accompanied by the Jordanian Army's 3rd Division. So this is really serious, and it is really challenging the Russians. And as you said, this could lead to a nuclear war, and this is a really dangerous step that they're taking.
The Russians have said that, first of all, they said, we're cutting the communications between our military. We're not going to share with you information. I don't know if they've instituted that or if they just announced that it's going to happen. But once that information is no longer shared, then the possibility of a direct conflict and direct attack by one or the other rises considerably. The Russians have also said, because they have put in air defenses, that they've said they have red lines now. This is very scary. They
right.
have red lines. And that any plane that comes in or any missile that comes in, they're not going to ask where it came from. They're just going to shoot it down. Now, they may or may not be able to do that.
Right, but they have they have said they're going to respond with force now if any of these other attacks occur.
That's right. So if indeed there are U.S. tanks and troops massing on the border of Syria, we're looking at a direct confrontation between these massively armed nuclear weapons states. And it doesn't, there is no conceivable way. There's no conceivable way. Once this confrontation takes place, to know that you can prevent it from escalating. We know from the Cuban Missile Crisis that we were very close to a nuclear exchange on a number of levels, both above ground and under the sea in the early 1960s. And only because there were calmer heads. I mean, there were people in the Pentagon who were saying, let's go for it. Let's have a nuclear war with Russia. We're going to win. And John Kennedy said, I don't think that's a good idea. How many millions, hundreds of millions of people are we going to lose in that process? And they didn't even know about nuclear winter at the time, which would be caused by these dirty dust clouds that would prevent the sun from getting in. So anybody who thinks, and I think this is a condemnation of the leaders of both parties, it's a condemnation of our own congressional delegation, with the possible exception of Chris Murphy, that they think that Donald Trump, whom they've called unstable, and they've called him a Hitler, and they've called him all sorts of names, and he certainly is not someone I would depend upon to have a calm attitude, he's got his hand on the nuclear trigger. Is he going to stop? I mean, this guy likes a challenge, and he likes to beat up on his opponent.
But Henry, don't you think that 180 turnaround now on this is an indication that he's getting a lot of pressure from what I would call the deep state or the shadow government?
Clearly, but the deep state, which is presumably a description of the CIA and these people who, in organizations who stay around when the administration changes, and they have their own missions and goals. But we can't forget that the Democratic senators and Republican senators and Congress people are all pushing Trump to go to war. They're pushing Trump to challenge Russia. And he's got his own people pushing him to challenge China. And he himself has said, we're going to take $54 billion out of human services, Meals on Wheels and Medicaid and the environment and so forth, and put more money into the military, which is already bigger than 8 or 9 of the other biggest militaries in the world. The United States spends far more, and with its allies, 75% of military spending in the world. So he wants to increase that. And how are they going to say, no, you can't increase it now? Now you can't take it from our cities, you can't take it from our children, because we want you to go to war with Russia and China, and we want you to directly attack Syria, because he's going to need the money for that. So basically, they are enabling this guy that they were opposed to. As soon as he bombs a country, he becomes a hero.
It is absolutely insane. So essentially, he's bombed a country illegally that has never hurt us or done anything to harm us without any proof, and killed some innocent people because Assad supposedly killed people. And this is what we're doing, and we're up against the Russians, who it could lead to World War III. So it is very scary. Henry, we're just about out of time. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners before we pause today?
I just want to say, you know, Trump made his speech on Thursday night to justify the bombing of Syria by saying that these innocent infants and children were killed by this madman. Well, let's consider who the madman is. Trump and his predecessors have bombed innocent children in all of these countries. And even while he was speaking and crying over these poor children who were killed in some kind of toxic chemical event, he's bombing Mosul and killing civilians, including many children. His ally, and there's U.S. is supporting Saudi bombing of Yemen, and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people and civilians are being killed at the same time. Is it that Syrian children are somehow more sacred to the United States than Iraqi children or Yemeni children at this point? The United States is killing children all over the world.
All over the world.
So you have to I have to discount, and I think people should discount this emotional appeal.
And I hope that the American people are smart enough to see the hypocrisy and see through it and not support this insane attack on Syria.
Well, I think that it's up to those of us who recognize that this war is not going to be good for anybody except, as you point out, the military, the bomb makers, the weapons makers. Everybody else is going to suffer. There is no good to come out of this.
No, including all of our including all of our troops that are now on the border with Jordan and Syria.
And the ones that are in Syria.
Could you tell us more about that?
So we've taken over some of the air bases and are using them. And in this area around Deir ez-Zor, in the more northeastern part of Syria, the U.S. has troops. The U.S. has combat troops that were inserted recently into Syria to prevent the Syrian government from throwing out ISIS. ISIS, it's its capital. It's the Islamic State's capital. The Syrian troops were preparing to attack and liberate those cities. The United States has put its troops in the way. This is part of this insanity of how do we keep, either the United States wants to just keep the war going as it drains and debilitates the Syrian people and the Syrian state, or it wants these ISIS characters to control a part of the Middle East.
And they are our proxy army, so if ISIS controls them, then we control them.
Well, I'm not sure. I think that the United States believes that it can control these guys. But to me, that's a fantasy.
I think if they just pulled their financial support, that would cripple ISIS a great deal. And along those lines, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard has introduced a bill into Congress to do just that. It's a bill to stop funding the terrorists. So I would encourage everyone to call your congresspeople and ask them to support that.
Right. It's called H.R. 608, Stop Arming the Terrorist Act, bipartisan sponsorship. And I agree with you. There's another bill, H.R. 1473, that Congresswoman Barbara Lee has introduced, calling for the U.S. to no more combat, no more troops to Syria. And the Gabbard bill has been introduced by Rand Paul, I think, into the Senate. So these are bills that we should urge our members of Congress to endorse and co-sponsor just to get the word out that there are people who say we've got to stop this nonsense.
Right, and the bills themselves admit that we are arming and supporting these terrorists, in case anyone doubts that. Henry Lohendorf, thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate your input.
Well, you're welcome, Cheryl. Thank you for inviting me, and let's keep at it.
And again, you were just listening to a conversation with Henry Lowendorf of the Greater New Haven Peace Council. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.